Hey, friend, in this episode, we're going to see the Bible is not about you. Hey, friend, welcome back to the Love Revival podcast. Hey, I really believe if you love your Bible, you will love God, serve people, and live a life that matters. So today we're talking about you are not the star. You are not the star of the Bible. And in fact, the Bible is not about you. Now, I know that sounds like, duh, of course the Bible is not about me. But do you really understand that? Do you really believe that? Because I'm not so sure we don't often go to the Bible expecting it to be about us. Like in the morning, when you open your Bible, you're probably looking for some truth that you can take along with your day. You're probably trying to figure out a way this Bible can help you. It's going to speak to you. It's going to encourage you. It's really just about you. Like you come to the Bible wanting more of you, and you're looking to the Bible to solve that. And here's what we want to really lean into. The Bible, it's actually a book about God. So when you read the Bible, when you open the Bible, you're actually coming to see God and not you. So how do we know the Bible is a book about God? Well, just think about how the Bible begins, right? Like the beginning of any book, you can kind of get an idea of where this thing is going. Like, what's the point of this? Okay, so here's how the Bible begins. Genesis 1:1 says this: in the beginning, God. Just think about that. Okay, in the beginning, God. So the very first character we see in the Bible, the first being who is introduced, is God. Not man, not Adam, not Eve, not you, not me, but instead God. In the beginning, God. And then it says what God did. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So here we see seven Hebrew words. It is very poetic and powerful. It kind of sings. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, just think about that statement for a moment. So we see the Bible beginning with, in the beginning, God. And then if you flip to the end of the Bible, Revelations 22, we see the Bible ends with God too, because it ends with Jesus saying, I am coming soon. And then people are saying, come, Lord Jesus. And then may the grace of Jesus be with you all. So it both begins with God and it ends with God. And everywhere in between, it's a giant story about, yes, you guessed it, it's about God. So when you come to the Bible, when you read the Bible, you need to understand that you're reading His story, not just getting some tips to live your life better. So I want us to lean into Genesis chapter 1. So let's think about this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the starting point, we meet God as our creator. He created everything, right? That heavens and the earth, there's nothing outside of that. Like He created all the things you see above and all the things you see below. He created everything, which means He owns everything. And guess what? That includes you. Like God owns you because He is the creator. See, there's a giant distinction between you and God. God is creator. You are creation. There's a big chasm. He's in charge. You should follow. He should lead. He rules, you obey, right? That's just how life should be. So God is the creator. Now, if you look in Genesis 1, first of all, we don't see a science textbook telling us exactly how God did everything in a scientific fashion, but instead it's telling us what God did in a poetic form. It's telling us, yes, God did these things and this is how He did them, but there's not as much details maybe that we would like. What we see is really there's forms and there's fills. So theologians have pointed this out, but you see really days 1, 2, and 3, God, He makes these forms. So you have the skies, the seas, and the land. And then in days 4, 5, and 6, He fills those things. He fills the skies with birds. He fills the seas with fish. He fills the land with animals. And then, of course, human beings. So we see God creating, 3 days forming, and then 3 days filling, and He's bringing chaos into beauty. So the earth was, there was darkness and it was a void and it was formless. And then in the midst of that, God speaks. God says things. He says, let there be light. And there was light. So we have God who stands and he speaks. And in speaking, all creation comes into existence. And what we're going to see is God created everything for his glory. And that includes us, that we were created for God's glory. Now, where do we see that? Well, if you go to Genesis 1, and especially if you look in verse 26 and all the way to 28, you see this idea that God created us for his glory. And so we're going to see this. Look at verse 27, or I guess listen to it. Here's what it says. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So here we find that God, the only thing he creates in his own image is mankind. And he creates mankind in his very own image. Now, this would have been shocking to the people listening to Moses writing this down and Moses telling this to the people. Now, why would this be shocking that God created man in his own image? Well, if you went to that time period, what you had is the pharaohs were thought to be in God's image, the very sons of the gods, right? Kings and rulers would be considered to be in the image of the gods. So here, Moses is saying, no, let me tell you what God did. God made every single person, and not just the men, the women too, that every person, male or female, they're created in the very image of God. They bear God's image. There's a lot of things we learn from this that we can't unpack in 15 minutes, but we see this gives us value. This gives us dignity. It gives us worth. It shows that God is the one who made male and female. There's a lot of things we could talk about, but we're just going to zone in on what does it mean that we're in God's image and how does that reflect God's glory? Well, one of the things we do in his image is we rule. So notice verse 28 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and everything that creeps and moves. So when God made us in his image, then he blessed Adam and Eve, our first parents, and he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. So check this out. David Platt's the guy who really showed me this, but here we have mankind. They're made in God's image, male and female. And then he tells them, hey, man, get with the woman and y'all be fruitful. In other words, make babies and have those babies go make babies and have those babies go make babies and have those people fill the earth. The point is for the whole earth to be filled with men and women who are making families and reproducing and filling the earth. Why? Because men and women are made in the image of God. So God's vision for the whole world is the whole world would be filled with his glory. That everywhere a man and a woman goes, everywhere they have babies, everywhere those babies go, you see the image of God because they are made in the very image of God. So here we find our purpose under the glory of God, that we were made in God's image and one of our purposes to fill the earth with his glory. It's the idea that Eden is this little place filled with God's glory and God saying, hey, take my presence as my people and spread it out throughout all the earth so the whole earth would be filled with my glory. And notice he says to subdue the earth. So to rule and subdue, that subdue means to cultivate. It means that God has made everything, but now he wants us to take what he has made and made other things. See, I love this, that God didn't make us a park ranger, as J.D. Greer says, but instead he makes us farmers. He wants us to cultivate, to twist, to make the things that he made into other things that we would get to rule and work and move and do. I love Genesis 1:15. God tells Adam to work and to keep the garden. So God puts man in the garden. He says to work and keep it. That word work, it has to do with the temple, that the priests in the temple were called to work and keep the temple, to keep it holy, to keep it in a place in God's presence. And here Adam and Eve are told to do the same thing, to work and keep it, that the garden, it was a tabernacle temple type place. It was the place with God's glory. So Adam and Eve were supposed to keep and work and to till and to do those things under God's glory. And of course, there's a rule, right? Genesis 1:16, God says, hey, don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there's a do not command. Now, why did God give a do not command in this perfect place? Well, because he wanted Adam and Eve to rule under his good word. Not to rule however they wanted to, but to rule under him. And of course, Genesis 3 wrecks all of this because our parents rejected that. They don't want to rule under God. They want to rule over God. They want freedom. And yet their freedom brought slavery. And here's what we find in Genesis 1. We have this thesis. The thesis is this, the thesis of the world. When you think about the whole Bible, when you bring it out, it's this, that Jesus is Lord. That's the thesis of the Bible. That's the thesis of all creation. So that antithesis would be, you are Lord. If the thesis is Jesus is Lord, the antithesis or the antithesis is you are Lord. That's the great lie. Not that God is Lord, not that Jesus is Lord, but you are Lord. So life is really about you. See, I want you to read the Bible correctly. And the Bible is not your Lord, and here's some tips how to live your best life. No, it's that Jesus is Lord. And when you read it, you're reading about him. It's a book about God, his story, his glory, the way he rules. See, my kids, they love Marvel movies, and I do too. And Marvel is not a story about them. It's a story about the Avengers, right? They don't come home and make their home movies and then watch them on the TV. You know, instead, they want a Hollywood movie about Thor and Iron Man because they're epic, right? It's a bigger story. It's a better story. When you're reading the Bible, you want to look for God. It's his story. It's what he is doing. So as we wrap up, I want to give you five things to look for to find God in the Bible. So what are you looking for? First, look for God's work. When you read a story, when you come to verse, what is God doing in the world, in the lives of these people? What is a work that God is doing in the midst of this text you're reading? Second, look for God's glory. How in this text are there only God things? Think about the Exodus, right? The Exodus is not just God getting his people out of Egypt into a promised land. It's about God executing judgment on the gods of Egypt so that his glory would be known. God is doing things that only God can do. So look for God's glory when you read the scriptures. Also, third, look for God's providence. So think about when you're reading a story, just of the providence of God. Think about Joseph. I mean, if you read Joseph's story, what you see is, yes, a suffering servant under God, but you see God's providence. God is moving and doing in the midst of Joseph's life. Fourthly, look for God's rescue. Where is God showing up and rescuing his people? Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace. What do we see? We see God's rescue. God shows up and rescues, which pulls us into the story because guess what? We need a lot of rescuing. And then fifth, look for God's character. Look for how the Bible is telling you who God is. When it says things that he is sovereign, it means he's in control. That's part of his nature, his character, that he's loving, he's merciful. When James says God cannot lie because against his nature, that is a good thing that God can't lie. He can't lie to you. He can't lie to anyone. So guess what? You can trust him. So when you read the Bible, when you open it, don't just think, okay, how's this going to help me today in my mundane life? But instead think about how is this going to pull me in to the bigger story of God? So you're going to look for God's work, God's glory, God's providence, God's rescue, and God's character. So here's the truth. If you read the Bible looking for you, you will be disappointed. Because I don't have to tell you this, you're just not that great. Like your mama told you were, but at some point in your life you realize, you know, I'm not the greatest, and the whole universe shouldn't be centered on me. So if you read the Bible looking for you, you'll be disappointed. But if you read the Bible looking for God, you will be amazed. That's the difference. So I want you to be a person that looks for God. You see, the Bible is more about getting you to worship right than it is about getting you to live right. See, we think about the Bible, it's the book telling me how to live right. Here's the rules, here's what I should do. But really, the Bible is more about getting you to worship right, to worship God over you. Because when you worship right, guess what? You will live right. Hey, I hope this episode helps you love the Bible. I know it's a little bit hard to swallow, but the Bible's not about you. The Bible is actually about God. And if you read the Bible looking for you, you'll be disappointed. But if you read the Bible looking for God, you will be amazed. So this week, here's my tip. Go and read your Bible looking for God. Now go and love your Bible.